And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, I just one of our listeners, Big Dave. Big Dave, you know who you are. Big Dave, just let me know that I'm too fast with that phone number. He says slow it down for the old folks. So, Big Dave, this is for you. The number's 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT.
Oh, we love you, Big Dave. That's awesome.
We do, Big Dave. You are amazing. We need to get him back up here at the studio to see us sometime soon.
We do.
Yeah, we're overdue.
I like that.
Big Dave, you come on to see us, brother. We love you. 833-687-4448. Any given time, we'll take those calls and texts. And I want to hear your traditions, your Christmas traditions on text.
You also got a text from someone talking about traditions.
Which one?
No, right there on your phone.
Oh, I did. I did. The lovely Charlene says, you sound like we don't have any traditions. I know, baby. I know we have traditions, honey. I know we do. We have great traditions. We have our Christmas Eve traditions. We have, you know, the gatherings at certain times. We have the food that we eat. We have, now we have, by the way, even newer traditions because we have grandbabies. So you're starting to brew up some new ones. And then we have our stockings, which the stockings are our traditions for, we do our Christmas gathering as a family the night on Christmas Eve, thereabouts. Or we have to pick a night now because, you know, kids are married and stuff like that. But then Christmas morning is stockings, which for us are like an extra round of Christmas. It's like robust stockings, if you know what I'm saying. So anyway, I know, baby, we have good fun on Christmas. So anyway, all that to say. All right, hey, listen, I got another. Oh, by the way, Boomer, with regards to your Nerf gun wars.
Yeah.
Paul from Athens texted in, says they would try to confiscate his Nerf gun because it has a 20-round magazine.
They wouldn't allow it in Oregon either.
Probably not. Well, I don't know, though, because as I go into number, what a great segue, Boomer. I like how you see how you did that?
Ah.
All right, so, yeah, I'm going to number one of the Triple Dipper. Live free or die, the Second Amendment. What is the latest on what is happening or attempted to be perpetrated upon our Second Amendment rights? The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, they love infringing. Infringing is what they do. And I found the most ridiculous article in the Coleman Times. Coleman Times, why would you even write this article? And by the way, it's a fairly lengthy article filled with dogma and liberal talking points. But it's obvious that the Coleman Times is not aware of what state they're located in. Headline, from July of this year, keep in mind Alabama just passed not just open carry, but permitless open carry and permitless concealed carry this year. All right? We've always been permitless open carry. Permitless concealed carry along with our open carry. Thank you very much. Here's a headline. You ready? Amid recurrent gun violence, Alabama and Georgia haven't tightened gun laws in decades. Do they know where they live? Why is this even a story? All right. It says, while mass shootings and gun violence continue to plague the country and spark debate over gun laws, Georgia and Alabama are among several states that have not or are likely not to impose firearm restrictions at the state level. Well, that's like a major duh. I mean, why would you? So they got a guy named Frederick Vars, who is apparently a law professor at the University of Alabama, who has written numerous journals and books about gun control and violence. All right, prepare yourselves. He says, I know much has been written about a kind of connection to making sure that slaves don't get guns. Do you see where we're going here? They went straight to racial discrimination, slavery from 150 years ago, gun control laws of today. It makes no sense. Anyway, he says, this is Vars again. He goes, I think we may be getting farther away from the original intent, as I understand it, but then again, I'm not a historian. No, we're not. We're not getting further away from the original intent at all. The current determination by the Supreme Court of the United States in the Heller decision is literally, and by the way, the Bruin decision most recently this year, is literally an interpretation of the Constitution. It's not a new interpretation. It is saying, here's what the foundations of our liberties are. Here is the strict construction of the Second Amendment. They go on to talk about decades of lack of gun control in Georgia. and Alabama, and then say Alabama is one of more than 30 states with a law that expands the castle doctrines in their homes. Well, so, okay, what they're saying, they make it sound like, well, Georgia and Alabama are out there on the fringe. They're not, and then they do slip in, we're actually more than one of more than 30 states with some of these laws. And then they quote Democrats like Georgia State Senator Elena Parent and other Democrats who have pushed for gun safety laws. Republicans, they say, are too busy trying to force women to give birth to be concerned. Force women to give birth to be concerned with all the children already killed here by guns due to their gun policies, said State Senator Democrat Elena Parent. In June, Georgia Democrats held a press conference urging background checks for purchasing weapons and a ban on assault weapons. This article goes on like this. I guess my first question is, why would the Coleman Times think this is a necessary article when the reality is the laws of this state don't even reflect anything like what they're opining or wanting to have happen? They have no meaningful quotations in here from people who are supportive of gun rights. And anyway, I lay that down as a precursor because I thought it was a ridiculous article. Let's go ahead and talk about what they are trying to do. Alabama Daily News had a piece that came out in November, November 28th to be exact, so we're right at 3 weeks ago. While President Joe Biden speaks about the scourge of gun violence, his go-to answer is to zero in on so-called assault weapons. This came off of Alabama Daily News, citing the Associated Press on November 28th. Biden said, the idea we still allow automatic weapons to be purchased is sick, just sick. I'm going to try and get rid of assault weapons. Well, they've tried before. He was there. Remember, he's been in D.C. since Methuselah was a child. All right? So he's tried. In 1994, when they passed the assault weapons ban, it lasted for 10 years, at which point it was repealed, or allowed to lapse, actually, because everybody recognized it had not done anything measurable to create a safer America. There was nothing about that law that did anything except put law-abiding citizens in a bad place. It says, but Biden and Democrats have become increasingly emboldened in pushing for stronger gun controls and doing so with no clear electoral consequences. I'm not sure what they mean by that, because I believe there are electoral consequences. If you go and try to infringe upon the Second Amendment in Alabama, see if you can get elected. Good luck. Just over half of voters want to see a nationwide gun policy made more strict, according to the AP's VoteCast, an extensive survey of more than 94,000 voters conducted by the Associated Press and the University of Chicago. About 3 in 10 want a gun policy kept as is. Only 14% prefer looser gun laws. And there are clear partisan divides. 90% of Democrats want stricter gun laws compared with about 3 in 10 Republicans. So the very idea that here we are polling the possibility of a national gun law in mid-2022 is a clear indication, by the way, that there is still an effort afoot. Now, keep in mind, one of the things they did do this year that I think we all have to be watching out for is they passed legislation that included the ability to fund states to create red flag laws. If you're not familiar, a red flag law is simply a law put in place that says, hey, if we see certain behaviors that we at the local slash state level decide are red flags, we can take away your guns. Well, what's that going to be? And who gets to decide? Well, you know, you apparently went to see the school counselor. Yeah, because my grandmother died. Well, but you saw a counselor, therefore we're going to take your firearms. What? How about this? Well, you had a bad day at work, and we heard you yelled at your boss, and somebody turns you in as being someone who has rage, and so therefore we're going to come confiscate your guns. What? You know, so who decides? Well, you had to seek mental health treatment. Well, you're taking antidepressants. Well, you didn't get your COVID vaccination. I don't know. What's it going to be? Where does it stop? Who decides what is a red flag? Remember, the pandemic of the unvaccinated was all of us who were irresponsible that were out there just ruining the world. I guarantee you, if they'd had an opportunity, they'd have made that a red flag. Well, where does it go from here? And what are they doing to try and take and steer the narrative? Well, you may be chagrined to find out that just a few days ago, a story broke that didn't get a lot of coverage, but I found it on townhall.com. Did you know the CDC tracks gun violence? I don't know why. I'm sure Congress gave them money for it and told them to. But the Centers for Disease Control tracks gun violence. And the Centers for Disease Control has not been tracking intentionally because of gun control activists. They have deliberately been suppressing information on the defensive use of guns. So, Boomer, you heard of the Castle Doctrine? You know what that is? Yeah. Stand your ground at your own house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A man's home is his castle. Someone breaks into your house, you have a right to defense, right? And you
absolutely.
You are likely not to be found guilty of, you know, taking out a threat in your own home. Mm. All right. Stand your ground laws also, depending upon where you live, they can also mean, you know, someone threatened you first and you responded with lethal force in kind.
Is that similar to in fear for my life?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes, depending on where you live, it could be life, limb, or property. Mm. All right. But here's the deal. There are efforts afoot right now to make sure that the narrative of the good guy with the gun beating the bad guy with the gun does not get out, because it defeats the narrative of all guns are violent use. They don't want the world to know that law-abiding citizens are protecting their homes sometimes. Story in my hands.
Wow.
I'm holding it up right now. The CDC, gun control groups have undue influence over the CDC. Story on December 16th by townhall.com. If the Centers for Disease Control was looking for ways to rebuild trust with the American public, it just squandered an opportunity to redeem itself. A new bombshell report from the firearms reporter Stephen Gutowski shows three gun control groups apparently have enormous pull over the CDC. Mm. How so? Well, they appear to have successfully lobbied the CDC to omit statistics mentioning instances of defensive gun use. Again, that's the narrative that says there are oftentimes when a good guy with a gun is able to beat a bad guy with a gun. And they don't want you to know that. They want the narrative to always be violent extremism, you know, unwarranted gun violence. How about sometimes it's self-defense? The most updated CDC definition of, quote, defensive gun use reads this way, quote, although definitions of defensive gun use vary, it is generally defined as the use of a firearm to protect and defend oneself, one's family, other people, and other property against crime or victimization. But one professor, a guy named Gary Kleck, who has an organization that tracks gun use, says the CDC has been aligning itself with gun control advocacy groups and omitting the information that is necessary to tracking of when good guys use guns. And that to me is just disingenuous. It's awful. It's literally an attempt by the left to construe the narrative in their own way. This is no better. By the way, it's maybe worse. You know, Twitter suppression of the Hunter Biden story or other things they don't want you to hear or say or know, they suppress those stories. That's one thing. How about this? This is when the activists go to a government-run agency paid for by our tax dollars and make sure the narrative is construed differently than what the truth should let it be. That's just freaking wrong right there. Well, that's what's happening. So there's one thing for you to know. You know, we always talk about there are times when good guys with guns beat bad guys with guns. And the fact is the gun control lobby, why would they not want you to know that? Why would they not? Because it defeats their narrative. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. I ran a minute long. We'll do that. We'll come right back. I'm still in number one of the Triple Dipper. Live free or die. Second Amendment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. By the way, some of y'all are sending in some amazing texts on your family traditions, and I just remembered another one, too. Charlene sent me one reminder, and then I've thought of another one that I've got to tell a story on. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. In a few minutes, probably after the next break, I'm going to have to just take some time and say, here's a story from so-and-so, here's a story from so-and-so. And by the way, one of the best ones I've seen so far is one of our new texters, Aaron from Coleman. What an awesome text that is. I'm looking forward to read that one out here in a few minutes. All right, let me jump back on to the topic at hand, though. Live free or die, Second Amendment infringements. I got two people that held on during the line or on the lines during the break, so let me just jump over the phones real quick. Line one, Chris from Lauderdale County. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for your show and your service.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You and Boomer both. Hey, I've got family and friends in Washington State.
Okay.
And they're telling me that for if you get pulled over and the law officer, for whatever reason, requests backup, your name goes on a list and you are never able to get a concealed carry permit up there.
Oh, wow. So if they call for backup, even if they just like mistake your car for one that's on a BOLO list or something like that, and they call for backup just in case, you may wind up on that list and then there you are.
I am told it makes no difference. If they call for backup, you're on the list.
Wow.
For whatever reason.
Wow. That's Washington State?
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Well, blessings on them. Tell them they're welcome down here in Alabama, where we live free.
I think they'll go to Idaho.
All right. Hey, Chris, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Let me jump over real quick. Line two. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. No flat tires today, Jeff, I hope.
No, but I'm at the Loves getting some lights put in.
Oh, man. Brother, you've been having a time the last 2 days.
Oh, it's always fun.
Well,
hey, you know, Phil?
Yeah.
Am I the only dumb high school graduate truck driver that wonders why they changed the Second Amendment?
Why they changed the Second Amendment? You talking about, like, since it was enacted in the Bill of Rights, or are you talking about why they put it in the first place?
No, since they changed it, since it was enacted. I mean, because it reads, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right.
So why doesn't it say firearms and small weapons? Or does it give you the right to own a battleship? I mean, that's arms and hand grenades, cannons, everything else. Because it was in there, it was put in to so that the people would have the same armament as the government did.
Well,
when it was written,
it was, and then somewhere along the line, they did begin to regulate certain things, and now the National Firearms Act says you can't have an automatic weapon without your stamps. But I think it's morphed away from what they intended, as opposed to now it's morphing. I mean, in some ways, it's getting back to what they intended, but in some ways, the government has made it harder to just basically have the liberties I think they originally intended.
So the shall not be infringed is no longer in the bill then.
Well, not according to Right Side Radio.
Well, I mean, they must have removed it somewhere down the line, because infringement, I mean, that's pretty easy for some dummy like me to figure out. You know, infringement means you don't mess with it.
No kidding.
And apparently they messed with it. So, I mean, what other laws can we change? What other amendments can we change that's written in plain language? I mean, it's not hard. I don't have to be a lawyer to interpret infringement.
No, you're certainly right. And you know, and you know, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble, the right to due process. I mean, every one of those things. I've said it before several times. If you let one of them go, then they all are at risk at that point.
Well, the only amendment that they messed up on is that the Second Amendment should have been the first, because you don't have any of the other amendments unless you have the second.
Well, that's a fair point, brother. All right, man. Hey, get those lights changed. Be careful on the road, man.
He just stuck her in there. I'm heading out, man.
All right, brother.
Head toward Indiana.
All right, we'll see
have
you.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too. All right, folks, time for the break. Coming back, top of the hour, we'll continue on with Live Free or Die, Second Amendment. What are they trying to do? Oh, I got news. You're going to want to hear it. Like Jeff said, the infringed thing is real. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two already. Local, state, national, man, we cover down on all the issues and, like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, the text line is still going. By the way, if you've got a Christmas tradition that you want to tell us about, I'm going to be reading some of these out throughout the show. What Christmas traditions do y'all have? It can be meaningful things. It can be goofy things. It can be a food you eat. It can be an event y'all do. You know, like for years, we used to, on Christmas Day, we would have a kind of a quiet morning at the house, opening presents, doing things. And then we go to a Christmas matinee. We used to go to a movie on Christmas Day. And that was, I mean, that was a great time. I loved doing that. It was like an event. So tell us what your Christmas traditions are. 833-687-4448. All right, I got somebody held on the line real quick. I'll jump over to that. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well, sir. And, well, before the other thing, the Christmas traditions that we have, it's whatever my wife tells us.
Tradition is to say, yes, ma'am.
Yes, for many, many years.
Well, that makes for a peaceful Christmas Eve, then, I guess.
I married up, IND. She's smarter than I am by far.
Well, what's up, man?
But I was going to live free type thing, which is, it goes back and says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. These were the United States of America back then. Which goes to the 10th Amendment, correct me where I'm wrong, but from that point, a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, and every state, almost every state, had a militia. You were called to duty for that state.
Oh, and that would be true. In fact, the 167th Infantry that I used to command in the Alabama National Guard, the battalion, started off as the 4th Alabama, and before that it was the 4th Alabama Militia in the 1830s to help defend the home front. That's what they were.
And it's in the Constitution of many states and everything that says every man of a certain age and everything. And of course, now it's not just a man, but was part of a militia. And that's part of where, based on my reading of history, I could be wrong, correct me, but... And it says the right to bear arms, not the right to bear firearms. So that could be cutlass, musket, cannon.
Can I have a battle axe? I'm going to carry my battle axe.
I'm sorry, my mother-in-law is gone. And I loved her.
Oh, God. All right, Brian. Thanks, brother.
Have a good one.
Appreciate you, man. Hey, listen, the text lines are going. If you want to text in your Christmas traditions, please do. 833-687-4448. So right now I've got a piece here, the Washington Examiner. We're still in number one of the triple dipper, live free or die. Second Amendment infringements are upon us. So in the Bruin case, that's the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. That's the one that came out earlier this year that pretty much solidified the ability of citizens to claim that there's been an infringement upon their civil liberties. In that case, it was New York. Well, what they're trying to do now is find all their workarounds. Okay, how do we get around the Bruin case? In the Bruin case, Justice Clarence Thomas, writing for the majority, he wrote this. He wrote, quote, "No other constitutional right that an individual may exercise only after demonstrating to government officers some special need." In other words, he knew of nothing that you have to do to prove that you have a right to assembly, a right to worship, a right to freedom of expression. Where do you have to prove that to government? By and large, you don't. And yet, somehow or another, there's always this attempt to try and regulate firearms by saying you have to prove to government that you should have the right to bear those arms. Well, this article comes on the heels of multiple states attempting to pass new laws, even in the wake of the Bruin decision. So this article came out in the Washington Examiner just last week, actually. Headline, blue states prepare new gun control laws to survive the Supreme Court challenges. A few examples. New Jersey. Lawmakers in that state advancing a bill that would severely restrict where lawful gun owners can carry their firearms with a permit. Under the new law, it would also cost significantly more money to obtain that permit. In Illinois, lawmakers just last week debated the proposal that would ban assault-style weapons, outlaw higher-capacity magazines, and raise the minimum age for gun ownership from 18 to 21 years old. You can join the Army at 18, but you can't own a firearm until you're 21. In Oregon, state officials are fighting to implement a measure approved last month by voters, I'll tell you more about that in a minute, that would restrict the use and possession of firearms. In New York, they quickly changed their gun laws after the Supreme Court decision, but even then it became controversial. They wound up back in court. Pennsylvania, Democrats are pushing a measure that would stop the sale of firearms that can accept more than 15 rounds of bullets or five shotgun shells. My God, I mean, there went just about every Glock in somebody's possession. And oh, by the way, how do you account for the fact that many shotguns can hold more than five shells? I've got my shotgun, which was prepped for three-gun competition. I can do 14 and one on that one. It's got a tube, man. The tube's longer than the barrel. But nonetheless, these are happening left and right. Connecticut, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont has proposed going after AR-15 rifles. What? I don't like that rifle. I want that one gone. Just the AR-15. Not the SKS. Please don't touch the SKS. Just the AR-15. Okay. Then there's Biden's attempts to regulate ghost guns. Because that's an epidemic. Ghost guns. They're just everywhere. Ghost guns. New York Times, dated December 15th, last week. President Biden celebrated the adoption of a federal rule this past August that cracked down on the online sale of untraceable components for weapons known as ghost guns. It's a major step toward stemming gun violence, but the rule has done little to stop the sale of key parts used to make deadly homemade firearms. Maybe that's because those are also considered repair parts. How about that? A trigger assembly may not be a ghost gun. It might be an actual repair part. So what's happening now is online retailers are no longer selling the core components in one package. They sell them in separate packages. And they don't give you instructions on how to make a firearm. You figure it out for yourself. And I guess that's, well, they found a workaround. We were trying to limit this. And an article from the New York Times calls it ghost guns, which have gone from a novelty to a national menace. Okay, New York Times. Lastly, Boomer, your family should be aware. Oregon.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Boomer's family's from got family from Oregon.
Yep.
But they're all here now, pretty much.
Most of them.
Most of them are here.
Trying to get the rest.
So Oregon, a bunch of yahoos out there, voted for a new law. Oh. It passed by 50.7%, like barely over the margin of being like beyond 50.
Just barely.
Not even 51%. 50.7. That's a 0.7. Yeah. They passed this law that basically says gun buyers have to take a course. They have to demonstrate an ability to load, fire, and safely store a firearm. Like, how do you demonstrate safely storing? I removed the magazine, I emptied the chamber, and I stuck it in a drawer. Does that count? I don't know what...
A locked safe, probably.
I guess. Yeah. It is safely stored in the glove compartment of my vehicle. You know, what are they saying here?
It's right next to my German Shepherd.
<That's right. laughs> Anyway, it does all kinds of things, this law does. However, it has been enjoined, all right? An Oregon judge issued an injunction blocking portions of that law immediately, one of which was the high-capacity magazine ban, because he said, the judge said himself, that it is absolutely evident that what is attempting to happen here is to restrict the right to bear arms, because so many of firearms, the magazine capacity is integral to the use of the firearm. And when you buy, I mean, what are they going to do here? And how do they even get a magazine? And then how do the police enforce it? If they see you with a magazine in a weapon, they're going to have to remove the magazine to see what's there to know whether you're breaking the law. You might be an otherwise lawful possessor of the firearm, but do they stop you? Do they have the right to stop you, to check your firearm?
Wow.
So anyway, Judge Ratio blocked the law. Now, here's the one that I found the most interesting, and I'll kind of wind up with this. You know, Somehow or another, they always manage to do this. This is Oregon again. Hang with me, Boomer.
I'm hanging.
You'll be pleased to know that Oregon's LGBTQ community is now worried that a new gun measure, the one I just talked about, is going to keep them from obtaining guns, too. I kid you not. Oregonian has an article. Some of Oregon's trans and queer gun supporters are worried that a new state law will prevent them from buying firearms. It prevents everybody from buying firearms.
Not just you.
Not just you intersectionalities. Oh. The law, Measure 114, grants county sheriffs and police. Now, here's the deal. I will say this. I find it interesting that they had to write an entire article about trans and queer gun activists for it to suddenly be, well, maybe we should rethink this because this might affect the trans community. That's what they're doing. Oh, but the interesting thing is, at some point in the article, I have to say that I agree. I mean, I don't necessarily agree they had to go out and find the trans community to suddenly legitimize the Second Amendment. But what I will say is this. They are worried that if they go out and conduct a protest against police brutality, that the police could then retaliate by limiting their ability to own a firearm. And I have to agree that you should not allow the subjectivity of local decision-making to suddenly change whether your Second Amendment rights should be enforceable.
Hmm.
So the whole article even has a Maya Rose, a trans person of color and a former licensed firearm dealer, who focuses her efforts on sales and trainings for LGBTQ and Black and Indigenous and people of color. I'm like, well, where do they get these articles? But nonetheless, I have to say that Oregon, you screwed up when you infringed upon the trans people's rights to bear arms. Because suddenly you're I know Paul from Athens is already texting in going, especially those cis white males. Yes. Yes. All right, Boomer, take us to a break. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to spend a minute before the bottom of the hour telling you some of these Christmas traditions that are coming in. 833-687-4448. You want to text them in? I'd love to hear your Christmas traditions. We'll read them out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Man, we've had some great texts come in. Just a few. By the way, Raven from Russellville just texted in. Says that his Christmas tradition is when we get together, we set up a 25-yard range in the backyard. We shoot targets with him as the range officer, coaching the young ones. It's a blast, special for all of us. I like that. That ties right into my live free or die. That's a great segue out of that. And thank you, Raven. Appreciate you. Some of the others I got on here, though, just so, and they reminded me of others that I'd forgotten to mention of our own families, like Darlene from Decatur. She says that they always sing Happy Birthday to Jesus and read the story in the Bible of his birth. And we did that, too. We actually had a Happy Birthday Jesus cake every year for the kids. And before we opened presents, we would sing Happy Birthday to Jesus because to remind our kids and really to even ourselves that he is the reason for the season. She also says some great, I mean, they had several of them in here, like the way they did their gifts tags for the kids. They would use nonsense words that gave clues to what the gift inside the box was, see if somebody could figure it out before they opened it, which I think is just fun. And then they also, by the way, they have a tradition of staying home on Christmas morning. They used to drive back and forth to Chicago. That was us, too. When our kids were little, we would just tell everybody, we'll come see you after Christmas morning because our kids deserve to wake up at home if they can. And that's what we always did. Santa Claus always came to the house. Then we went and saw everybody else after that. So, Darlene, thank you for those. Those are great. Aaron from Cullman just blessed me. So he says, and I'm going to try and just read it. He says, cherish and honor your traditions. We always had around 70 family members at my grandparents' house during Christmas. And as we look back, we realize my grandparents would, by today's standards, be considered poor. But because of their immense love for us, we never knew it. Their gift was love. They knew that each of us liked and what each of us liked and made sure that each of us felt their love. And throughout the year, Papa would craft items in his workshop, and Mama, or me, I think it's Meemaw, would make sure everyone's favorite dish was served at Christmas. And it's examples and memories like these that far outweigh anything that can be purchased. Both my grandparents have now passed on, and the family asked me to speak at Meemaw's funeral. I remember during the funeral thanking her for making our house a home, that no matter what we faced in the world, that's just good, that no matter what we faced in the world, we knew that somehow we walked through those doors, everything would be all right. He says, cherish your family, and as much as it may hurt, tell them you love them. This could truly be the last Christmas for some of us to have together, so share that love and don't have any regrets. My gosh, that was beautiful. And so true. So true. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate that. Aaron, new texter on the line. Aaron from Cullman. I got several like that. And I got to tell you, it reminded me, I mean, so Boomer, we had a tradition in my family. I guess y'all like do gift wrap presents at some point, right?
Right.
Right. Do y'all label the boxes like, you know, just say like to dad or to mom, or do you have any special way of doing it?
If we label them at all.
Okay, let me do some explaining to you. It doesn't help when the kids open mom's present.
Oh, crazy.
But I think I started this. So in our house, among other things like the happy birthday Jesus cake and the, you know, all this. So I started labeling the gifts. And I never use like real names. So when I'm giving one to Charlene, it may say like to Wonder Woman from Captain America, or, you know, at the very least, it's going to say to Mrs. Claus from Mr. Claus. And then the kids still remember that a few years back, I labeled one of them. I said to Hoochie Mama from Big Daddy. And the kids were like, Dad, you can't call Mama Hoochie Mama. And I said, is that bad? And they're like, well, yeah. You just like, you can't do that. And I was like, what? I'm sorry. So to this day, somebody on the night we're opening presents will say, did you got one? Hoochie Mama. Hoochie Mama from Big Daddy. Oh, my gosh. Somebody's going to text that one into me.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
Paul from Athens says, maybe you should do one from Captain Planet.
Yeah, to Earth Station from Captain Planet. I don't know. All right. I love Christmas traditions. If you got more out there, you're welcome to text them in, 833-687-4448. We're about to switch gears here, number two in the Triple Dipper, Birmingham Southern College. All right, so Birmingham Southern is a private college with a long tradition. They've been ranked as one of the best liberal arts universities in the nation, and yet suddenly they are in financial distress. And suddenly, after claiming their private rights, and even to the extent that they didn't want to enforce the vaccine, non-vaccine passport law that we passed in Alabama, we broke a story last year where suddenly they were charging kids who didn't get a vaccination $500 extra dollars. Yeah, I kid you not. But now all of a sudden they need public funds to survive. So Birmingham Southern is asking for a bailout. We'll talk about that next, number two on the Triple Dipper. And I got Stephanie Smith calling in to talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.